Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest episode of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, to my right, is Varun Alvaconda, who you can find literally nowhere, even if you try. And to my left is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And just in case you're new to Crick Picks, what we do on this show is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five each for that category in a snake-style draft competition. So the pick order goes 1-2-3, 3-2-1. And sometimes what we do is that we combine to create teams, which is kind of what we're doing today. So the topic is the all-time Gen Z test team. But don't be confused by the title, because the parameters that we have for this is that only those players are eligible who have made their test debut 2015 onwards. So how do you guys feel about this?
Terrible.
It's an interesting team, I'd say.
Yeah, there are a few batting positions, I feel, which have a lot of, like the depth chart is huge. But then there's some spots where literally there is no depth chart, right? Anyway,
yeah, agreed.
Varun, you do have first pick. So just do the honors, please. We all know where you're going.
Yeah, of course. Jasprit Bumrah.
Yeah.
Captain. Have we done the stats on how often he's just gone first yet?
We do need to do this one day, you know? But he was the most obvious first pick for this one. What is it? 210 Easily. Wickets now in 46 test matches. Still averaging below 20 with the ball.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, that's very important to Saurabh Banai.
No, I mean, I really hope it stays easily. Because right now he's the...
I love Jasprit. He's India's greatest fast bowler ever. You could argue he's probably is the greatest fast bowler in that period, I'd say. Like, I don't know. You could still argue
his own generation,
others, right?
Yeah, there is another guy whose name might come up, right? But
yes, it should come up, like if he did this correctly.
For people who would challenge this pick, I would just say that in the history of Test cricket, only one bowler has taken over 200 wickets and averaged below 20 with the ball. So, I mean, this is a non-conversation.
Mm-hmm. I think if you adjust for errors, Marshall and Garner are quite close. But raw numbers, it's Bumrah.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, let's not muck around then. If we're going to do that, I will just go straight back in with Kagiso Rabada next.
Yeah. Two most obvious.
One, two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best KG stat for me is that for bowlers who have over 150 test wickets, he has the best strike rate ever, if I'm not wrong. And he's got over 330 wickets now. He crossed Alan Donald recently. So that's two very, very obvious picks at the start. And we've got two out of potentially three to four seamers as well. So good start, guys.
It tells you it's been a bowling era when you start with two bowlers and no one argues.
I suppose that means that the onus is on me to buck the trend, right? Like, it has to stop here. And I will also go for another obvious pick, at least for me, is. And I'm actually going to go for an opener and to India. And I will pick Yashasvi Jaiswal. And Jaiswal's record is phenomenal for someone who's played 20 test matches. And, you know, that's not a tiny sample size anymore, because there are going to be a lot of test cricketers in this era who'll only end up playing like 50 to 60 test matches, at least if they're not from the big three. And in these 20 test matches, Jaiswal has scored nearly 2,000 runs, 1903. He has 5 hundreds in 20 tests. And, you know, three of those hundreds have come in his first test in a separate country altogether. So in his first debut test match versus the West Indies, in the West Indies, he scored a ton. His first test match in Australia, he scored a ton. And now most recently at Headingley, his first test match in England, he also scores a ton. Left-handed bat, wonderful driver and cutter of the ball. And he's averaging 53 plus in test cricket. And like I said, 20 test matches, an average of 53 plus, he is clearly generational.
Yeah, he was next on my list as well. So I have no issue.
Like, I think the public has kind of turned on him a bit after the drop catches, but that's just Indian.
We'll hide him in
the field. By the time this podcast comes out, he might have made another 100 and everyone will have forgotten about it.
Probably, yeah.
True. Okay, now I'm confused whether I should pick a bowler or should I just finish up our opening pair.
Let's just pick bowlers. Let's not even stuff around.
You know, I'm going to go for the opener because I want to pick him. And, you know, we speak about Jaiswal as someone who obliterates both pace and spin. Well, this other guy also does the same. So my second pick will be Ben Duckett from England. And, Yeah, I mean, I was looking at all the openers and I thought that this is the most obvious pair who should be opening the batting for us. And Duckett has played 34 tests. He's scored north of 2,600 runs. He's averaging 43.68 with a strike rate of 86+. So, I mean, that is ridiculous. 600s as well. And, I mean, when you talk about pace or playing pace, he will, you know, have his touch shots down the ground and drives and punchy shots as well as a pull. He has a really good pull shot, both aerial and grounded. And when it comes to spin, I mean, this guy is probably the flag bearer for how opening batters should be playing spinners. He's got all four sweeps, reverse, conventional, paddle and slog. And I think the prospect of these two left-handed batters opening the batting together and somehow lasting till the 25th over and then taking down spinners for fun is a great prospect.
Again, a very modern player of spin bowling.
Yep.
Like very, very modern.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm done with my two picks, which means we're back to Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I forgot about that. well, I actually had another opener, but I suppose you've kind of... actually, maybe I didn't have another opener.
I think I was South African for the other opener, or an Indian.
I was thinking of someone. Anyway, I'm going to go with Travis Head.
All right. Mm. And the mic is... As soon as he says the word head, the mic lodges itself close to Jared's throat. You know, it's really interesting you pick Head because he was my choice at five as well. But the depth chart for number fives was insane. We had like plenty of options. Yes. It was crazy. You had Kamindu Mendes, Harry Brooks, Saud Shakeel. All of these guys have been doing great. They all average over 50.
Yeah, it's just, I think with Jaiswal, you've got a perfect example of there aren't really that many other great opening options. And so you can make the claim. All those other guys you've said are fantastic. Head's just done it for longer now and, you know, is a little bit more tested and everything else. But also, there's no reason why Head can't bat at six, right? Like, you can't, you know, move things around. True. So I don't have any issue with that. I think Head's a perfect player for that. As a cricket journalist, I would travel up to 200 days a year. And I loved every part of it, except for one. This little evil pin here, because I needed this to change my SIM card. And when you travel in cricket, you're quite often going from country to country. Don't get me started on how much this would annoy me in the West Indies, but even going from New Zealand to Australia, this pin was the worst. Well, with the Sally eSIM, they sort all of that out for you. They have an eSIM app that you install once, it's cheap, and it works in more than 160 countries around the world. No more turning up at an airport and lining up for a local SIM, trying to give over your passport and your details, and you just want to get in a taxi and go where you're going. No, Sally make it so much easier. You just download the app before you travel and you decide what kind of plan you actually need. Oh, and if you do that with our code, GOODAREAS, all one word, you get an exclusive 15% discount on Sally eSIM data plans. So go right now and download the Sally app and use the code GOODAREAS, all one word, at checkout and travel like a pro with Sally.
Yeah, that's a fair argument. And I mean, the impact that Head brings and the fact that he can change the game in the matter of minutes. So I suppose he is the most obvious pick over here. So Varun, we've got our openers. We've got a number 5/6 and we've got our new ball bowlers as well. Where are you going?
I'm going for the wicket-keeping option, Rishabh Pant.
Yeah, easy.
Yeah, like, it's an easy... I'm surprised Head went before Pant, if I'm being completely honest here.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
I had them pretty close to each other. Yeah. But I think Pant...
Wicket-keeping, isn't it?
Yeah. Plus, you're
obviously forgetting that you're obviously forgetting Travis Head's bowling, but that's fine if you want to. I mean, if I remember correctly, Travis Head has got Rishabh Pant out, so
that is very true.
That is
he does have one there. He does have one.
Yeah,
he does have one. Pant there.
Pant is averaging.
Yeah, I think Pant's
44.44
in 44 Test matches.
In 44 Test matches. Yep, it is a fantastic record, and
somehow like the joint most hundreds by a wicketkeeper in England, including English wicketkeepers, which is the most stupidest stat ever.
Mm. It is really, and plus, like Jared just mentioned, there's no reason why Travis Head can't bat at six, which means that we can always slot in Pant as five.
Yeah, I think his numbers at five are better than his numbers anywhere else, right? It's like 60-something at five, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, it is something like that. But anyway, we've got our wicketkeeper as well now. Openers, number five, number six, and our two new ball bowlers. And it's still your turn, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, I forgot where I went.
There are plenty of options.
I'm going to go for a left-arm seamer. I'm going Janssen. Because I think there's not many other left-arm seamers around in that period. I feel like unless I'm blatantly forgetting someone obvious.
Well, there is Shaheen, so, but Janssen has a better career thus far than Shaheen.
Yeah, I'd say Janssen is better than Shaheen.
Yeah. Also, plus, Janssen, you get a bit more batting.
Exactly. As and a number field. Eight. Yeah,
that's the other thing. At number eight.
Yeah, he's giving us a lot more balance in this team as a number eight. Plus, you know, he can easily be first change, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason. And he has a ridiculous average, doesn't
he? I think he probably should be open in the bowling now. Or is he a better first change bowler? I don't know at this point.
South Africa in the middle started bowling Rabada first change, and I never liked that. So I would rather open the bowling with Jasprit Bumrah and Rabada. But Janssen's average is like, what, 20? I think it's 20 in Test cricket.
Yeah. Like, he might be the most erratic bowler I've ever seen to average 20 or 21.
Yeah, I have to check this now because for the longest time it was 20. Yeah. But maybe after the World Test Championship final, that might have changed. Let's see. All right.
It's a fantastic record. He's you know, he hasn't actually worked out the best way to bowl.
He's 22 yet. Now.
Yeah.
22, yeah.
Like, if he does, his ceiling is so insanely high, as Jared keeps saying, right?
He's a tall bloke.
He isn't always completely accurate, and he still averages 22.
He averages 22 with both the ball and the bat. So that's another nice little stat. And yeah, I mean, high ceiling, tall bloke, he's quick. And I think our pace attack is mostly sorted now. So we're back to Jared.
You say that. I've got three more themers that I'd like to fit in. I think we need a spinner. And I just want to make sure I've got this player right. Mm-hmm. When is his debut? Yeah, Keshav Maharaj.
Oh, interesting. Mm. I had two people in my list for spinners, and the other one was Kuldeep.
Yeah, I had Akshar as well. The only thing is that he's just bowled more home and away. He's just more tested, and you know,
agreed.
You know, that's all it is. It's not anything to do with those other guys. They might actually be better bowlers. But he has almost 200 wickets home and away at under 30, and he's a South African spinner. Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and Keshav Maharaj, for a spinner, like for any finger spinner to be averaging under 30 with the ball is quite ridiculous, and he's managed that. And post readmission, he has without a doubt been South Africa's best spinner. Who would you say, like, obviously barring the four spinners of the apocalypse who won South Africa their first Test versus England, who else would be there to challenge Maharaj's status as South Africa's best spinner?
Hugh Tapield is their spinner in the 50s or 40s or 50s. He was unplayable. So he's probably still their best overall spinner, I would say. But Maharaj is not far away from him now, just because, you know, when Tayfield was playing, there was still worth bowling spin in South Africa. It obviously wasn't for the next 50 or 60 years. You've got, you know, Simcox and Paul Adams and those guys. They're, you know, Paul Harris. They're all role-playing spinners, right? Whereas Maharaj has gone well beyond that, hasn't he?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah.
You could also argue that's because the pitches have also become more sprint-friendly in South Africa.
That is true.
Hey, global warming is a very, very good thing for spin in South Africa and nothing else.
Climate change for spin. Maybe that should be a headline somewhere, climate change for spin. But anyway, okay, so it's back to me, isn't it? And I have to finish up my picks. And we don't have a number three, we don't have a number four, and we don't have an all-rounder and a 12th. Am I right?
Yeah, 3-4. Yes. Someone batting around number 7. And then, 12th, as you said.
Okay. So I'm not going to touch number 3, guys, because in this era,
there are
I would never make that mistake. I'll leave that bit for you guys. I was looking at the depth chart for number 4 batters, and it was surprisingly, like, non-existent. The only name that I could come up with is going to be my next pick, and that's Babar Azam. I know he's slipped big time in recent years, but if you look at his overall record, he's still scored 4,235 runs in 59 test matches. He's averaging 42.77 with 900s. And if I break it down further, if we look at his record specifically at number 4, he is averaging 51.79, and he scored the bulk of his runs over there, or at least half of his runs over there. And the thing is that, sure, Babar might have slipped big time, and he's, what, averaged 20-odd in the last 2 years. But before that, he was literally not impacted one bit by the wobble seam era or the pace playing pandemic, and he was scoring runs at an astronomical rate. So I feel like he's the only obvious choice over here for number 4.
Yeah, I think the other thing is also that, like, one of the reasons there's so few number 4s is all of them, like, all the prominent number 4s are still the FAB 4.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right?
True.
Yeah, they just held on to that reign. And the, weirdly enough, the ones who debuted at that point were probably just about to take over number four now. Like you have like guys like Gil and etc.
Yeah.
And that's too soon for Gil at this point.
It is. It is far too soon. All right.
Yeah, I had Bubba ahead of Gil just because he's done more in test cricket so far.
I didn't have Gil even close to this because he batted at a four once.
Yeah, and he's batted in a fair few positions also. So where do you even slot him in, right? He's a tricky one with that respect. Yeah. Anyway, final pick for me. And this pick is a potential all-rounder or a 12th. It will be up to you guys where to slot him in eventually. I feel like even if the numbers don't quite stack up yet, they will at some point. And this guy is too good a talent to go unpicked. So my final pick of the day is Cam Green. Please make note of this in bold that he will not be batting at number three in our team. Right? he will not be Cam Threen at all. And it's not a terrible record either. I mean, 29 test matches, he's averaging 34 and a half with the bat and he's averaging 35 with the ball. Like I said, he's still quite young. He is 26 years of age. Injuries have hampered his career, but just based on his skill set, we can all be quite sure that if he remains injury-free, he is someone who can be prolific in years to come. And again, we get a bouncer bowler out of him, provided he can bowl, which he will be able to in our team. So I'm fine with this pick.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay. I don't have an issue with that. I honestly don't mind him at three simply because it's a very old school way of going about it, right? He's clearly one of the best shield batters. And he was also in good county form. I know it's Division 2, but still. True. I just think it may be like you could argue it's a year or two too soon to move him to three. He probably should have batted at six for like a bit more. He needed a few more like years at six to kind of get used to test cricket.
I can't believe you didn't pick Wiyan Mordred about at three.
You know what? When it came to all-rounders, it's not like we were spoiled for choice. There is a spin bowling all-rounder who might come up.
Is that?
I think he has to come up, right? I can't think of anyone.
As the 12th, right?
Who else like, you pick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, we are back to Jared for his final pick. But before that, we will be taking a short break. You guys are watching Crick Picks with Jared Behram and Varun, and we will be back in like half a minute. So go nowhere.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Welcome back to Crick Picks. You guys are with Jared Behram and Varun, and we are currently in the process of assembling an all-time Gen Z test team. We have two spots left, number three and 12th, and Jared and Varun have a pick each, and Jared is next. So let's see where he goes.
I am next. I am using the Crick Info comparison tool to see which of our number threes. I almost picked Tristan Stubbs. Just because I like that they used him at number three. It has to be Marnus, doesn't it?
Yeah, it probably has to be Marnus. I didn't want to be the one to pick him.
I mean, I just had a look there just to make sure that Ollie Pope's career hadn't suddenly got much better since the last time I looked at it. And at number three, maybe their numbers are more similar. I don't know. But it has to be Marnus. He's got 11 test hundreds and he's averaging 46. And he's about to open the batting in the next game because I don't know if you guys saw Sam Constance play recently, but that's done.
It did feel like the ghosts of Marnus took over Sam Constance in that game.
It's Marnus. I just don't think there's another option at number three.
There are no number threes, right? That's what we realize.
The diabolical number threes. Is he still averaging, 46 in test cricket or something like that?
46.91. Like, it's not insane. It's not bad numbers.
I just remember Shayan telling me averages less than Kohli now. That's all I remember. Yeah.
This is a guy who was averaging 60 not too long ago, right? And in the last couple of years, it's dropped dramatically.
Didn't he like have a better batting, like higher ICC rating than Lara and Tendulkar, all of them lot, at one point?
Yeah, he was on our list of the top 50 test batters, like the long list, because we were like, we're going to have a look. I just have a look at him versus Pope. And obviously, it doesn't differentiate by number three position. But you know, the Crick Info one, it tells you like who's better at whatever. So Marnus has played one more test. But he's made 1,000 more runs than Pope has.
Wow.
But he's faced, this is my favorite bit, he's faced 3,600 more balls to get the score that extra 1,000 runs. He beats him on high score, batting average, not outs, hundreds, 50s, fours. The only thing that Ollie beats him on is strike rate and sixes. So, it has to be.
Also,
God.
Barnes has the same thing as Barber. These two batters are not impacted at all by the pace playing pandemic at the start, and then they just fall off a cliff. And they never have kind of managed to come back.
No, they're done.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
Anyway, Varun, you have the final pick. And I mean, there are a fair few ways you could go for 12th. So it's up to you. You could go for a seamer. You could go for a spin bowling all-rounder.
How do you get Washington Sundar into this
team? I think we have
enough
seamers, no? Yeah. I was actually thinking Washington Sundar. I couldn't think of any other person for the 12th team, man. Right?
I mean, it's your pick.
Yeah. When did Colin de Grandhomme make his debut?
It was actually post-2015.
I think it was.
Series where Pakistan toured New Zealand right before Australia, and this guy
was
took a 6-for. I remember him taking a 6-for in his debut bowling innings. That's all I remember.
Yep.
You know, fuck it. I am going to go Washington Sundar. I still don't know who to pick. Like, I'm going to go, like, well, who else am I going to pick at this for the second spinner?
I mean, you could have picked, I was thinking Akshar is the better pick.
I was thinking Mehdi as well.
No, I think Mehdi, because we have Maharaj as well. I didn't see the point of Akshar and Maharaj.
Yeah,
well,
fair enough.
Mehdi and Washington, if you compare them, maybe Washington is better than Mehdi with both bat and ball. Is that fair?
Probably has a high ceiling, right?
I don't know if he's better with ball at the moment, but he could certainly become better with the ball. And Mehdi, what would Mehdi average in Test cricket? About 18, 20?
32? Wait, what?
No, I mean with the bat. Yeah.
Maybe like the same average as Jansen, I'm guessing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's not. He's probably not quite an all-rounder.
That's 24.
Oh, it's 24. Oh, okay. 24. Two runs. Two runs better than Jansen. Yeah.
No, that's not too bad. Yeah, I mean, I think those guys, any of those guys, no. I think Colin
if
de Grandhomme.
If you really wanted to go rogue, Washington, so there is a perfect false number three.
The false three. So I think my options were probably going to be Kyle Jameson. I was also thinking of Blessing Musrambani.
Yeah. I was thinking about him as well.
But like the argument I have is if you already have four seamers, why when would you need to play whole
You're team? Right. So you should have just picked the best player available who is also the most stylish and has the best posture of any modern cricketer.
Also, you guys are forgetting one.
Dhananjay de Silva! Dhananjay de Silva!
I was thinking
DDS is in there.
He debuted after 2015.
Yep.
Yep. Also,
I was not aware of that.
You guys are forgetting Jaden Seals. I thought he was a very strong contender as well.
I thought so. It's just I don't think he's better than Jameson or Blessing.
Matt Henry is the other one I was thinking of.
Matt Henry's only been good of recent times, hasn't he?
Yeah, that's the other issue, yeah.
I don't know where you fit him in, but Daryl Mitchell's another interesting one, right?
Yeah. He was the only other option at number four, and he would have been like a makeshift option at number four, if you get what I mean, right?
Yeah, like Mitchell had like a Mike Hussey arc, right? Where he just came in after 30 and just started making runs.
Yeah.
You could also, if you wanted to get funky with it, you could pick Brooke or Mendes to bat four ahead of Bubba as well.
Yeah.
I guess the other thing I could have done is go Kuldeep as a second spinner, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
You could have. But I like the whole rationale behind Washington Sundar being our false number three when Marnus continues to fail in every game, right? Yes. Who else misses out? Let me think. Jared, who was the... Blundell is an interesting
one. I was thinking of Markram or KL Rahul as a second opener. Markram.
Yeah, I don't know.
KL debuted at 24.
Jared, who was the opener you were thinking about? Was it Conway?
No idea. It was Conway, yes.
Yeah, so I would take Duckett over Conway any day.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair.
I think that's fair.
I was only thinking that you could also, Conway could keep. But we didn't need that because we have Pant anyway, so it didn't make any sense.
And I don't think Blundell misses out because Pant exists, right?
Yeah. You wouldn't fit Blundell into this side, but he's not far away. Like, he's your backup wicketkeeper. Nokia?
I suppose.
Yeah.
When he was good at Test cricket, he was very good at Test cricket.
How about Mohammed Abbas?
Yeah. Did Mohammed Abbas, yeah.
Yeah, because he would have debuted in 2000.
Yeah.
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 I didn't pick him because he lost half a yard. And because Pep Guardiola is my favorite football personality. Did I get that story right?
Yes, absolutely spot on. Anyway,
I got a football thing right, everyone.
Jared, let everyone know what our team looks like and then what our individual picks were, please.
Jaiswal, Duckett, Labuschagne, Adam, Head, Pant, Green, Jansen, Maharaj, Rabada, Bumrah. Washington Sundar. I don't know why I did his full name and no one else's, but I did. And where are we here? So Varun went first and he went Jasper Bumrah, Rishabh Pant, Marco Jansen, Washington Sundar. You went very well. I think the 12th is going to annoy some people. So you might have lost people on the back.
I think I would have probably won it if I had Kuldeep, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Kagiso Rabada, Travis Head, Keshav Maharaj, Manus Labuschagne. I think I started very strong for the vibes and then I just pissed all over the vibes in my last two picks. and Bayram went Yashasvi Jaiswal, Ben Duckett, Baba Azam, and Cameron Threen.
Yes. Not Cameron Threen in our team, though. But I think I might win this.
I think I feel like... yeah, nah. I wouldn't have picked Babar if I was you. People would just think you're a biased Pakistani again.
I mean, you picked 3 Indians out of 4 picks. So,
of course. But Indians can't be biased, according to our fans. So.
Fair enough. I do think there's merit in Jared's argument where we could have slotted in one of Kamindu Mendes or Harry Brook at number 4. It's just that I just had my depth charts in front of me, and that's what kind of dictated.
I don't think you made a mistake, because I had Babar Azam on my list as well. So I don't think that's an issue.
Again, as I said, there are no fours.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what our all-time Gen Z test team looks like. Let us know how much you disagree with it in the comments section below. And also let us know who you think won this round of Crick Fix individually. That's pretty much it. Fun exercise. And just a quick reminder, you guys can all go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And we'll be back with more and more podcasts and another Crick Fix next week. So till then, you guys enjoy yourselves, have a good one, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.